Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more.
Oh, yeah. When the moment for intimacy arrives, you got to be ready. Roman, it's ready. Here. Even though you're far from ordinary, the truth is that ED is really common. 52% of guys aged 40 to 70 experience some form of erectile dysfunction. Go to GetRoman.com/JRVP today. If you're prescribed, you get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this fall. Roman, ready. Another pre-roll. Paint Your Life, it's back, except it's a holiday edition. What a perfect gift for the holidays. Try paintyourlife.com. Get 20% off your painting and free shipping. Text your word VANITY to 64,000. Would be a great holiday gift. That's VANITY to 64,000 for 20% off and free shipping. We've got a lap dance at a high school. We got Fetty Wap. We got Anthony's storytelling ability and a German man with a taste for castration. All coming up on episode 129 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project. JRVP.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
They will make cemeteries their cathedrals, and the cities will be your tombs.
Nice and loose off the top. I like it. That's how I like my JRVPs. We don't go back to fix things. Well, what is that from?
It's the tagline of my favorite movie I watched this Halloween. I'd never seen it before. I watched a bunch of movies the last like three or four nights. Took the weekend off stand up. I don't want to mess with Halloween. I don't want to see your costumes. I don't want to be out in it. So I just kind of like barricaded myself in my place and watched movie after movie. And most of them were bad. Some were a little memorable. Maybe at the end, it'll be my recommendation station as a movie, and it's from 1985. But I was shocked that I had not seen it yet, and I loved every second of it. So maybe I'll tell you at the end what movies I did watch and the one that I truly loved. And that was the tagline, and I was like, this is so dumb. This is such a debt. They will make cemeteries their cathedrals, and the cities will be your tombs. Doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever. And the movie didn't really make much sense, which is why I loved it. But we'll get into that at the end during the choo-choo.
Sounds cool.
And if you're one of those podcast listeners, if you're a JRVP head and you tune out when you hear the choo-choo at the end, you're like, oh, that's it. That's it for comedy. Then you're missing out. Okay. We pack comedy into that. And we give you great recommendations that you won't hear anywhere else because nobody else who does podcasts reads. Or in Erica's case, you know, they're all like that.
who skips past recommendation station? I get more comments on that than anything. I mean,
get a lot of comments. People are passionate, but I think people tune out as soon as they say
what the numbers don't support Greg? That. You know, they're all the Greg Rosenthal book club. I mean, I sell books. You know, I say a book and things just like shoot up on Amazon from like, you know, 5,034th to 5,030th.
Just counting the books that you recommend that I've already recommended when you double down on my recommendation?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to be in a Jeselnik double recommendation streak here. I hate when I know it's coming. But the next two things are things I got from Jeselnik. Although one's never been mentioned on the show, which is like, I don't want that. But it's football season, and I only have like time for about one thing a week. And if it happens to come from Jeselnik, I got to give it some love.
Why do you keep saying Jeselnik when I'm right here? You can just say you, Anthony. Like, I'm your friend. You refer to me in the third person, and it's weird.
Erica's recommendations have been, you know, a big hit. Her one about the one last week, I guess that wasn't the recommendation, it was such a big hit. She tried to do a spin-off topic about it before the show, which I want the interaction to be played at the end of this podcast, but I don't think Erica will do it because, like, she doesn't like the tone of it. So now I'm saying it now so that she'll feel pressured to.
I think people are going to listen to the end and then it won't be there because she just so forget. And then they're like, why did Greg bring it up when he did? And why does he keep saying Jeselnik? I don't know about you, Greg, how you felt about it, but I was like a little annoyed this past week because of last week's podcast where I'm trying to like walk my dog on the streets. I'm trying to work out at the gym. I'm trying to go do stand up and people are grabbing me and wanting to talk about the one. You know, they're like, we heard the podcast. We listened to Erica talk about the one. And would you take a genetic test that told you your soulmate? And my family's obsessed with it. You know, people are just, they just want to like just chat it up. They were like, I've never been this into anything since fidget spinners. That was like the last thing that really blew up on that level. That I'm like, you know, it's the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
Not the one corner with Erica that it just kind of got annoyed. I feel like we got overshadowed. And people just can't stop. My mom is like, I would take the test. You know, your dad said he wouldn't. And we got in a fight about it. We might be getting a divorce. I wish the test was real. That kind of shit. Lots of divorces this week, I'm sure, because of Erica. You know, it just dominates the conversation. It's just throwing a can of paint over something that Greg and I spent a lot of time putting together. So hopefully we don't get into another situation like that. But if we start getting into headlines and we start referencing the one, it's just because it bleeds into my life so much. That it was such like a monumental thing for us, and a lot of our listeners who were in sixth grade or below are really into, like, super into. So that's what I've been dealing with this week. That's what I've been dealing with. So thank you, Erica, for that.
You're welcome.
Social media, I mean, broke the internet.
It's true, just like some internet. In Erica's defense, it's just like some people like aren't ready to think that deeply about something, mm-hmm. like a question mm-hmm. that big. It can just derail your week. You can just be like sitting on the couch and be like, wait a second, it's Thursday. I've been here since Tuesday thinking about
exactly. One. Not everyone's ready to have their third eye opened up to the one, you know. And when you do it, like I assume it probably drove some people insane. And I know on Twitter, like I'm not on social media, but I am on Twitter, and you can't DM me unless I follow you, except if you're talking about the one. For some reason, those words are, if the words the one are in your message to me, you can DM me all you want. So I've been scrolling through these things, trying to answer as many as I can, because I want to get my point across. And people try to change my mind about, would you get the test? You know, it is genetic. That gives it a lot of credibility. And so, you know, I feel like we just got hijacked for the week, and I don't appreciate it. You know, I'd rather be talking
you guys.
About other things.
You know, I feel bad for the people who haven't listened to last week's episode. So I'm like torn, because they would, you know, they could go back and they could listen, and then they would realize how hilarious the last few minutes would be. But then their week might get totally sidetracked, and like it's a vicious cycle.
See, I disagree with you, Greg, in that like if last week's episode we talked about like the giant earthquake that destroyed Los Angeles, and you didn't hear that podcast, and we referenced it the next week, they would still know. So even if you didn't hear about if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, you've been listening to people talk about the one, because it sent off shockwaves. Like it was like nothing else we've ever talked about before. So I'm glad it's a new month. You know, it's November now, and we can hopefully move past as much as we can. But Erica did threaten that there are sequels to the one that maybe we have a spinoff podcast, and we talk about that stuff, do listener phone calls, because people just want to not just talk about it, but like dig into it. You know, a lot. I've been reading a lot of fan fiction. that people wrote in between last week's podcast and this week's podcast. Like, she really struck a chord with everyone, like from top to bottom.
You guys don't do guests on the show, but what if the author of the one would come on? Would you guys interview them?
I feel like we have the worst guest every week. You know who that is?
Oh, guess who?
Yeah, you got it right. You're the one. You're the one. You got a genetic match to the worst guest we have, who keeps interrupting and gets in the way and talks about things we would never talk about without it. Other than that, though, things have been good. Doing a lot of stand-up. Got some new jokes, finally. I think I told people I was having some writer's block issues, with trying some, taking some big swings on some bigger narrative things and was missing all over the place. Mm. Like bat leaving my hand, flying into the crowd, hurting people. But wrote some honest-to-God jokes and was very happy with a few of them. Some good shows this week at the Comedy Store. This week I'm at the Comedy Store if you want to come check them out and see the new stuff. I had dinner with a director. A director reached out to my manager and was like, I want Anthony to star in my movie. And I was like, wow, this never happens. Let's see what this is like. And when the two of us just sat down, got drunk at a steakhouse and just talked wild shit on different comedians we didn't like and different directors we didn't like. So it was really fun. I don't know if I'll be in the fucking movie, but it was fun to do that. And no one's ever, I was like, sat down and immediately was like, I'm not an actor. And he was like, yeah, I know, I'm aware. But I like working with people like that. But we'll see. Movies sound like a pain in the ass. Everyone's like, oh, you should be in a movie. It's so great to be in a movie. I don't know. I want to go on stage. And an hour later,
I think
I'm done.
He just wanted to hang out with you on one level. Or he, like, if you're not even talking about it, or just like feel what you're like as a real person before he.
No, I think he enjoyed getting to know me. I think it was like he was pitching me. And it was like, do we get along enough? You know, we had some similar philosophies on life in common. He was a much older guy. It was funny because he was like, watch this movie, watch one of my old movies before I meet with you. And I watched it the night before and it was like one of the worst things I'd ever seen. Like, it's from 1995. It's got a great cast, but I was just like, oh my God, I would not have taken this meeting if I had seen this. And I'm like, what am I going to say when he asks me what I thought of the movie? And I was thinking of all the different ways I could try to like play it off or just be like blunt and be like, I did not like it. And instead he kept referencing it and talking about how important it was to him, but he never asked my opinion, which I was very grateful for. But every time he mentioned the name of the movie, I almost laughed right in his face because it was pretty terrible. He was like, there are some things that
would have been different. Very confident he doesn't listen to this podcast.
I'm pretty confident, but I also haven't said the name of the movie or the thing. Anyway, we did get along. We did get along well. And if this all goes away because of this podcast, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Because we talked about different movies we liked, different comedy we liked. And then, of course, we spent like another hour there. I shut down the whole restaurant talking about The One. Other than that, I got another Rummy update for you. Rummy's been great. Rummy's been a dream. He's kind of stopped getting in. I was like doing a thing where I was waiting at night for him to get into his crate. I wouldn't want to pick him up and put him in there. So I would like fall asleep on my couch waiting for him to get up and get in there. I'd hear him when he went in and lock it up. And then he was just like not getting in there anymore. So I stopped doing that. And now I bought a crate that like a travel crate that I was going to put upstairs in my bedroom, but I haven't taken it out of the box. But the box is big enough to block the stairway up to my bedroom. So I've been using that. So I give him the whole downstairs area and I block it off and it's been very peaceful. So I can go to bed whenever I want. I don't have to worry about Rummy getting into bed and trying to bite my friends. That's it for me for the week. Mm. Kind of a boring week. I hide from Halloween. I hide from Halloween hardcore. So I'll talk about some movies at the end. But Greg, how was Halloween with your kids?
It was good. It was
good. Did you take them trick-or-treating or did you bail on them?
No, I took them trick-or-treating. You know, last year we sort of half did it because it wasn't really happening during the pandemic. We did like a mini version at our friend Lakeisha's, who you know. And we went to their neighborhood again. Erica, you know, did maybe the best bit of one of the best bits of producing she's ever done and suggested that we tape our football podcast at home on Sunday so we could all take our kids out to Halloween instead of like going into work for 13 hours every Sunday, which we do, which had not occurred to us and was an excellent idea. And I was very appreciative to like be out with them because I feel like, you know, Ellis, she's only got a couple years left before she's sick of going out with daddy, I think.
And what did Ellis dress up as? I know Walker was a shark attack victim, which I'm thrilled.
Yeah,
with.
She was a witch. She was a witch. And yeah, he was a shark attack victim. Or he was a lifeguard. Yeah. Being eaten by a shark attack.
They're still totally victims. They don't count them in the stats because they're lifeguards. They're not like, hey, they made their choice.
that was crucial to the outfit, and he got a great reaction from it. One of the things I'm just thinking about it that really I got a kick out of was they really noticed that if he wore the sunglasses, and it's dark, so it's kind of confusing to wear sunglasses at night, but if you wore these sunglasses, like, he'd get a bigger reaction consistently than if he didn't. Like, then he would get like, oh, this is the best, one of the best, you know, costumes we've seen all night. And they noticed if he didn't, not as big laughs. I feel like he's always looking for like what gets the biggest laugh. He wants to be a little Jeselnik.
He's his godfather's godson. That's for damn sure. One thing I forgot to mention about Rummy, we had a little adventure this week where on Thursday, Rummy got his bath. And they went from like, I take him in at 3 o'clock, I take him to a dog park and run around for a couple hours. So he's exhausted and he goes in there. And then after like a few months, they were like, you know what? Why don't you try bringing him in right when we open at 8 a.m.? So there's no one in here really. It's calm in here. There's just a couple dogs. It might be easier. Don't worry about running him around and getting the exercise because you can't. I can't get up at 6 and run him around in the dark. But I take him in at 8, walk him around a little bit, get him to poop, and then take him into the bather. And he'd been showing progress. And then it takes about 2 hours. I go pick him up and I get a phone call. It goes straight to voicemail. And they're like, hey, Anthony, it's Jess from Jess Runner Grooming. She's like, just, you know, give me a call. I want to talk about Rummy. And I'm like, this is not good. This is like getting a phone call from school. And I call. I don't get her. So I go to the place to pick Rummy up. Rummy's ready. And the front desk girl like gives me Rummy. And I'm like, did anything happen? Like, I got a call from Jess. And she's like, oh, I don't think so. I think Rummy was fine. And then goes in the back and is like, Jess will call you. And I'm on my way home and Jess calls me and she's like, Rummy bit the bather.
Oh,
Rummy
no.
Rummy doesn't like things around his head. You know, it's like water around his head. He gets mad if you're like scrubbing him. He'll like, and I think he does the thing. He doesn't break skin, but he just kind of snaps and puts his teeth on you. But it's not a full-fledged bite, but it sounds like a bite. And I think this is like, this has happened before. Where this bather is a very cute young girl, has an Instagram dedicated to bathing dogs. Her name is like something, the dog bather or dog groomer, whatever. Couldn't be sweeter. The videos are great. There's a video on my on Rummy's Instagram that she made. Like, she clearly loves Rummy. And they were like, she bit the bather again. Maybe you should take your dog and have like a mobile like groomer come and do the and bathe your dog so he can be around you and he doesn't freak out as much. And that's just saying, like, stop coming to Jess Rona Grooming, which I'm not going to do. If I stop going to Jess Rona, Jess Rona's the best. If I stop that, I'm taking him in the shower with me and bathing him like that when I need to. And I honestly don't care about the bath. He's a clean dog. Like, the way that the double coat, it keeps them clean. Even if he gets muddy, by the end of the day, it's like it's all falling off of him. He's very clean. But I like they do the brush out, so he sheds less. But they can't do the brush out without bathing him first. So they're like, what would you consider getting a muzzle? Which I've never wanted to do for Rummy. But I think when I take him to the vet, he's got to be muzzled. He's not letting them stick a needle in him. If they take him to the bather, now I've got to get a muzzle. So I got muzzles that just arrived tonight, and I've got a month to train him to like put the muzzle on. He's definitely going to run away. He's not going to like this at all. But the trainer and I are going to work with him to get him like peaceful at it. But I was a little annoyed because Erica, if you tried to give me a bath, mm-hmm. how quickly do you think you're getting bit?
Real quick.
Real quick. Greg, you try to give me a bath. How soon do you think you're getting bit?
Like way before we even get into the bath. Like I'm biting.
I smell soap and I'm biting you. So I don't blame Rummy. I think Rummy's cool. So I DM'd the groomer and I was like, I'm so sorry Rummy bit you. If you're not comfortable around him, I'll take him somewhere else. I don't want to like force this on you. Because again, I tip like a god there because I know that Rummy's a problem. All the dogs they do are really cute little things that they like get to play with. And Rummy's this fucking force of nature that they earn their paycheck. So I tip a lot and they don't want to lose me. I'm a celebrity. Rummy's a celebrity. They don't want to lose that. But I felt really bad. And now I bought like three different muzzles that I've got to try. They're like, just show it to him and then give him a treat and then take it away. Don't even try to put it on him for the first like week. So I've got a whole list of things I've got to do with Rummy to get him ready for his next bath, which is right before Thanksgiving. But I will put a muzzle on him and send him in there and see how he does. I think he might just be worse. I think he might, if any dog could break through the muzzle, or use his claws, you know, find his claws and use those, I think he would do it. But it's just around
the head. As long as you keep giving them, you know, sponsorship reads on this show, like mentioning their name, you know, when you feel bad about it, just like mentioning their name to give them free publicity. I think that's worth like getting bit.
Listen, they don't need the free, they're filled up. Like if you try to go to Just Run a Grooming, and let me tell you something, if you have a dog and you take it to a different groomer's, you're basically taking it to be put down. And if the dog survives, you're lucky. But Just Run a Grooming is the real deal, that I would not take Rummy anywhere else. I'd rather he was filthy. I'd rather shave Rummy than take him to a different groomer. I don't care how many of them he bites. He's going there. He'll work there. Anything else from this week?
Scary. Greg,
anything happen?
No, but I was thinking about, because I'm not a good storyteller. You know, we're going to hear that Anthony Jeselnik, like when he talks about his life and his dog getting going to the biting the groomer, that's just like classic Anthony storytelling. But I, you know, my life's boring right now. It's during football season. But I was thinking, while
not like the off season when it's fucking, when it's a James Bond novel. You know what I mean? Not in the off season when you turn into John Wick.
not in the off season when, like, hey, it's like we're going to the library more as mm-hmm. a family.
When you're going that's to zoos fun. Every day.
We're going to zoos, lots of zoos. No, I was thinking when you were talking about that you didn't think your narrative stuff was working. You often don't seem like you don't like the narrative stuff when you're doing stand up. And I feel like the audience likes it a lot. And I guess I was thinking like how you trust your own instincts so much of like what to get, what you don't think is working.
Or, it doesn't, the narrative stuff doesn't fit with the jokes. Do you know what I mean? That even like the narrative, like the long abortion story was just a series of jokes stacked on top of each other that came from a narrative. So if I think of something narrative wise, I'm trying to just look for the jokes because people are just waiting for the twist. And I cannot get anyone to give a fuck about Rummy when I'm holding a microphone. I think if I went on like Kimmel or I went on like Seth Meyers and talked about Rummy, it would be very entertaining and charming. Or if I talked about these other things, but it just doesn't fit with the rest of my jokes, then I'm like, fuck it. Let me just go and start writing jokes. And if a joke I can expand upon and turn into a story, I'll do that. But trying to work backwards and making a narrative story just full of jokes doesn't always work. That I just feel it. I feel a difference in energy. And I'm so concise and precise with jokes that the narrative stuff just hasn't been getting there. That I'm like, fuck it. I'm abandoning this. And I'm going to double down on the jokes and get it that way. But it's nice to have like three or four jokes to try out every night at the store. And people seem to like it. And even if they bomb, it's fine. It makes me go back and write more. So I'm looking forward to having four or five new jokes this week to swing through. And I think of the five that I tried out this week, two, maybe three, are going to make it into the act, which is an insane batting average for anyone, including me. So hopefully I can keep swinging. But I wasn't writing that many jokes for a while. And now I'm back into it.
But that's like part of being a great, I don't think just comic, but if you're creating something in general, is like someone who's good at self-editing. That is like the difference, I think, between people who end up doing well or not, or if their careers start going a certain direction, they're just like, it's hard to know like what of your own stuff is maybe be like good and to get rid of. I feel like that's like a skill in itself.
Oh yeah. There have been some specials, some comedy specials where you're like, what were you thinking? What were you, I was talking
right. That just editing would totally fix it. Mm-hmm. Like you had everything there, but editing would totally fix it.
They weren't self-aware enough to know to take that out or like, you know, just work a little harder. It's easier to just go up there and just talk. And there's some great comics who just like tell stories about their day kind of thing. Like I think of like Tom Segura. We talk about this a lot between the two of us of like, he goes to the dentist and it becomes a 10-minute bit for him. But I might think of like one joke that's 30 seconds long. But that's like, I mean, Tom is, you want to hear Tom tell that story about going to the dentist. For me, you just have certain expectations and I welcome the challenge. I don't mind if it takes longer. You know, I'm a luxury product. I'll take a little more time. You know, I could use
some editing. I have too many different, you know, at my other podcasts, I just yap too much. You got to know when to shut up, you know, or on TV, you just.
Is that a direct shot at your other people? Or you think you talk
No,
too
it's
much?
At me. I'm saying that's a weakness of mine. Yeah. And I'm better when I'm knowing when to just hit it and stop.
Yeah. No one ever gets mad when you talk, when you didn't talk enough. No one's ever like, oh, you didn't talk enough. They're always like, you talk too much. And talking too much is terrible. And you're like flailing and you're looking for a point. You're trying to kill time. Like, don't do that. Just think of the shortest thing you can say. Say it and then sit back with a self-satisfied grin. And people love you. You make a lot of money.
Are you having fun? Are you having fun right now? That's when I'm trying to, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job of it for the most part. Like, I am trying to enjoy my job. I do it so much. I do love football. I'm sort of a lame, you know, I'm a sucker like that. So I'm trying to tap into that. Are you having
it's
fun?
It's been a good year for the NFL that I can see you enjoy. There's a lot of stories to sink your teeth into. But there with comedy, I mean, I was laughing like on Wednesday, the crowd at the Comedy Store was so good that they made me mad. Like they were just laughing like too hard at everything. And they were like this for every comic. And then I would like say something, I'd be like, you know what I hate? And someone would go like Latinos. And the crowd would kind of laugh at that. And I would like kind of give the guy shit for it. And then later on, he would do it again. And I'm just like, I hate this so much. I hate these, like, when it's a positive heckle, when it's like a fan who just wants to kind of join in, that you can't get too mad because they're a fan. They're not like mad at you and giving you shit. Those people I can lay into. But when they're like, it's a positive heckle, I'm just annoyed. And I just want to get out of there. That like the show on Thursday night was like just a normal crowd. And I love that so much more. Even though I told twice as many jokes because the laughs were less. But I enjoyed it. So yeah, I am enjoying getting up at the store a lot, and especially having new jokes. If I've got a couple new jokes to try, even if they bomb, I'm just excited to try them. So that'll be a fun challenge for me this week and moving forward to get enough jokes that I can stop doing this podcast for a while and make some real money. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? Nuh-uh.
I do have a note, you know, should have told you that before the show, kind of slipped past it. I do have a note.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking dead eye at me. I sent a picture of the kids. I should send it to you too, dressed up for Halloween. And my mom responded, love it. And this was in a group text with my dad too. And Dean, my brother, and his wife. He said, love it, thanks, and meant to tell you I laughed all the way through RJVP this week. Always makes me smile. There's a few things like I like about that comment. One, she still calls it RJVP, you know, she's loyal to her son. But I also love that the episode where she said it always makes me smile was like an episode when we talked about Alex Baldwin killing someone. And in women's butts, like asking for people to kiss it. And that's what made her smile during the week. That's what she liked.
Yeah. I mean, she really hated Alec Baldwin. Didn't like him draping himself in the flag. Didn't like his Trump impression. So she was very happy to see him go down the way that he did. And yeah, my mom, too, reached out and was like, love that Alec Baldwin stuff. Really funny, top notch. I also, like, you're bragging that your mom still calls it RJVP. Because the last time I saw your mom and we had dinner together, she just kept on chanting RSVP over and over again. Like, she doesn't
really
know.
That was, like, yeah, that was years ago. That was years ago. But I do remember that. We were getting Korean barbecue, I believe.
I split a bottle of sake with your mom while she had the flu.
She was sick. She was on cold medication and had some alcohol. So I feel like, you know, it's tough. It's tough in that spot. I also liked, I thought you would maybe, you know, catch on this, that, like, you know, I sent like the picture of the kids on Halloween, you know, to a group text. And like her response was just talking about how much she liked RJVP. It's like she, you know, she puts you, you know, right there. Like even that was more exciting to her than her kids, you know, her grandkids in the Halloween outfit.
Do you think
if
you had sent her a picture of me in my Halloween costume, which I did not wear, me in a Halloween costume with your kids in a Halloween costume, she would have just write back how handsome I am? You think she would have done that and just ignored them completely?
Maybe it was like a goofy costume. You know, was it like a handsome costume?
I was a witch that was being eaten by a shark. I kind of combined the two. Wanted to be right.
No, but my kids were the cutest. You know, they were the cutest ones on the block.
I believe that 100%. I've seen the kids on your block, and it's Uggo City. It's like you move there strategically just to have the best looking kids on the block. Next time, though, did we get any notes? Jump in before I say no, and tell us.
I was trying to, you know, make hand signals here. You know, you weren't looking up at the screen. I was like trying to get your attention.
Just raise your hand. Raise your hand so I know that you're going to, instead of doing something in the walkthrough where you say, I actually have a note this week, you wait until I say no and then say, actually, I do. And then tell the longest story ever to say that your mom likes our old podcast. And that was, did we get any notes? Debbie Edition. And now it's time to take it down to a place that gets a note, but just the one, if you catch my drift. It's Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our producer, discoverer of novels that everyone has read under a certain age and likes to go off about them. Sometimes we let her carve out a little time during the podcast to talk about her, plug her other podcasts. I think she's got two, maybe three at this point, other than ours. And then do something fun with us. Ask us a question. Do a viewer email. Get way too into a book that anyone could have thought of. It's fine. It's Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond.
All right. So this question is mainly for Anthony. You can tell his pride of the podcast is his storytelling ability, which is why you really see Anthony thrive when they say how their weeks went. Greg, your weeks sound fun and all, but it feels like Anthony is the one who goes on some type of wild adventure every week, even if he doesn't leave his condo. Every week, Anthony has something notable that makes for a great story, like lunch with Giants owner, getting banned from all food delivery apps, or getting big-timed by a comic he wanted to go to war with. My question is, how many events like these happen to you every week, and what can we all do to capture moments as interesting as yours? I feel like all my weekly interactions are dull and mundane and filled with very little excitement.
And who wrote this?
I don't know.
Do you have a name?
I can get it for you.
It's all right. I was going to address them directly. Let's say his name is Gary. Let's go ahead and call him Gary. Gary, you could not be more wrong. Every sentence of this is wrong. I don't take pride in recapping my week. It's honestly the part of the podcast I feel the most pressure in preparing, where I like go back through my calendar to be like, what could I possibly talk about this week? What do I have that's even remotely interesting that wasn't just me like watching movies on my couch? And I find that one thing or two things, and I kind of like build them up as much as I can to make myself interested in telling the story, because I feel like I don't honestly do that much. And maybe part of that's the pandemic. But if I find something that's like, oh, I can talk about this, I can talk about Rummy biting the bather, then I try to make it a little more fun and interesting. But I don't consider myself to be a great storyteller. And I cannot wait to get out of the week through notes, definitely leap over Erica's Corner without embarrassing myself, and then get into ad copy. Ad copy is where the show thrives. Ad copy is what I'm all about. And that's where I feel like the narrative, like if I did ad copy, that's why I gave it over to Greg, because it just got too long. You know, it was a three-act structure for every ad, and we just didn't have that kind of time. So I gave it to Greg. I'll kind of interject some things, but that's really what this podcast is about. And then headlines are kind of fun, even though I choose those the night before and then just kind of make up my own thing as we go and riff with Greg. That's fun. But coming up with what I'm going to talk about for my week is always a struggle. And I just find the one thing. I think if you like, you think your life is mundane, if you kept a journal and had to journal every day and fill a page, you would find something from your day that was more notable than you remember it being. You mentioned lunch with the owner of the Giants, getting banned from food delivery apps, getting big time by a comic. That was like one thing per episode that I was like thrilled that it happened, because then I could use it as my thing of the week. But yeah, I before I do this podcast, I look back over my calendar and think like, what could I possibly have to talk about? And I don't think I'm a great storyteller. I think I'm a great joke writer, a great joke teller. But I think I'm so embarrassed by my storytelling ability that I pump it up. I don't lie, but I tell it like with bombast, if you will, if I'm using that word even remotely correctly and pronouncing it even remotely correctly. But I don't, I mean, these obviously things happen to me during the week. I would never lie or make up a story because it comes across as false right away. But if you want to live a life as exciting as mine, be single, have a dog that is a problem, and drink and do drugs, and something's gonna happen. You know, maybe it's cutting your ear open before you got to go on Kimmel. Maybe it's something crazy. Maybe it's something just, you know, run of the mill that you can make into something bigger than it is. I mean, would you agree with all that, Greg? Like, my life isn't that exciting. It's just like what I choose to tell you. I think I don't reveal much about my life, so what I choose to tell you seems a little more exciting than it is. But I just try to tell it in an exciting way, because I know Greg's coming with nothing.
That's not true. I just look at it more like, you know, it's a space where we could talk about whatever, you know, we can just talk, you know, that people like to listen to that. People like the top of the show. Surprisingly, I think you are selling yourself short. You have professionally turned talking about your dog's stool, like, into something people are interested in. that takes good storytelling to, well, if you've got to update people weekly about your dog's stool and people are genuinely interested in it, like that, that takes really crafting a story.
Speaking of which, one day I put Rummy in his crate. And he'd had I gave him some medication this week, and I think it made him have a little diarrhea. And he's normally just pooping in the morning, solid poop, and then he's cool the rest of the day. And I put him in the crate, and I hear him whining as soon as I wake up. And I'm like, you don't want to go down and reward the whine by letting him out right away. So I wait a little bit. The whining's getting worse. Finally, he stops for a second, and I come down and let him out. He runs out of the crate. He's not, like, happy to see me. He just runs, like, 2 feet over to the side and just diarrhea all over the carpet. And then I'm like, shit. And I go to get the paper towels. And then as I'm sitting there to get paper towel, he runs to the other side of the room and then hunches over like he's going to do it again. And I just scream, he's shitting everywhere. Like, it's not just like one poop. It's like he's going around. I had to open up the balcony door, let him go out there and poop.
Wait, you were talking to someone, or were you just going third person? Like, okay.
I was talking to someone who kind of helped me clean. They helped me. They're like, let's go get carpet cleaner and get the real stuff. Because I would just use paper towels, water, a little bit of soap, and then dry it up. And they were like, no, get professional carpet cleaner. And so I get the professional carpet cleaner. They spray it on the carpet where I cleaned up the diarrhea. And they're like, all right, 2 hours later, I'm going to vacuum this. It has not been vacuumed. No one vacuumed it. It was abandoned midpoint. That it was like, no, you've got to do it the right way. And the right way was abandoned. So that's the life I live now.
Are you going to keep the carpet up?
Eventually, they're all vintage carpets, you know, that I'm eventually going to get rid of, that I don't worry about. I'm not worried about him ruining any carpet. You know, I don't love cleaning up poop, but I'm also not like worried about anything. There's no, I never yell at my dog.
I just want to throw them away, which really bothers, you know, Emeka.
Because, it depends on the stain.
We're not rich here.
I've spilled like red wine on the carpet and been like, okay, now I've got this like story about this spot on the carpet. And then one day my brother's fiance, now possibly wife at this point, who knows, spilled a cup of water. We were hanging out watching a movie at the end of the night. And that stain annoyed me so much that I had to get another carpet to put over that one. I layered the carpets because I hated having a water stain. A water stain is no fun. A red wine stain, it's like, yeah, I earned this. But a water stain, it was like, what's the point? What's the point of hydrating if that's what's going to happen? And I guess the way I told that story was amazing.
It was pretty good. I mean, I disagreed with it. Yeah, everything about this guy's question, except for like his totally unnecessary indirect shot at me when he said, like, Greg, your weeks sound great and all. But Anthony's storytelling really makes his weeks things like, no, my weeks are pretty boring. They sound it. I know, based on the did we get any notes section earlier, like, I better get to the point quickly. I've got about 15 seconds to keep Anthony's attention for whatever direction I'm going, or I'm gonna lose him. I don't need to worry about the listener. Erica knows this. It's like, have we lost Anthony? The answer is usually yes, we have lost Anthony. Mm-hmm. And then it's over. And so that is not a recipe for like long form storytelling, unless you really believe in it. You better believe in that story. You better sell it.
Yeah. When you get into minute two of your book recommendation describing the book, then I'm gone. I'm gone. Maybe I'm the one who bails on recommendations.
Right. Station. Here's the thing though. Like, I listen to, some books podcasts. Like, I like hearing them talk about books for, 4 or 5 minutes at a time per book or whatever. I'm fine with it if they're good at talking about it. I guess I got to work on that.
Do you think you're good at talking about it?
Usually not. No, it's not a strength,
Because you'll be like, it's like, it's during the time of Christ, but it's like, it starts in BC and then it goes in. And that's really not, that's just the first chapter. And then it jumps to present day. It's all over the place. It's like, you could use some self-editing for sure. Think about it. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. I think I answered that question. I'm pleased that people like us talking about our week up top. I'm glad they enjoy that. I think that's just mine and Greg's friendship coming through. I think if I was like, talking to the fucking Sklar brothers and telling them my week, it wouldn't be as fun. But it's fun to see, like Greg, the guy with two kids who would kill to live my life for even a day, get to hear about me cleaning up dog diet.
This is one of your little things you throw out there that it's like, I'm seeing what actually goes on inside your head, that you want that to be true and you wish it was true. Like, you would feel better You would feel you wouldn't like, trade
places.
Would...
If I told you 24 hours, you get to be me, and I'll be you and handle your responsibilities. But 24 hours, you get to live my life. You wouldn't take that? I know you love your kids, you love your family, but you would give anything to get out of that for 24 hours.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I would, because that would sound interesting for a lot of people, not just you, but, you know, most interesting people. Yeah, go see what it's like to be someone else's consciousness for 24 hours. That sounds pretty good if I can come back. But if you're just saying, like, that's where I'm going to be for a while, like a month or something, no.
Okay, how about when your wife and kids leave you every Christmas for 2 weeks and you're not even remotely sad? You're like, Anthony, what are we doing tomorrow? Because I can't wait to jump on board the J train.
It's been a couple years. I think it's just like I'm trying to work on being happy or going with the flow in any situation. So like I'm making the most out of when they're here. But if they're giving me a month, or you know, pre-pandemic, it was about 6 weeks a year I had kind of to myself. I'm gonna make the most of those too. It's like the best of both worlds. But you know, I've enjoyed them. I'm happy they're staying home for Christmas this year once again.
Oh, they are again.
I don't think they have a choice because Japan's got this 10-day quarantine. Even if
I'll tell you this right now, we'll be lucky if either one of us survives 2022. When it's the first Christmas without them in a couple years, it's going to be bonk shit.
They might not come back either. I'm a little worried about Emeka just being like, yeah, we're going to stay here.
Mm-hmm. We're going to stay here. Whatever's best for her. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy narrative diamond. And now it's time for
ad copy.
Greg, give us three. I know you only had two pre-rolls. Make up a third one. Make up an ad for something else.
All right, I will make up a third one, but I'm going to start with one of our longtime sponsors, place you can go called GetRoman.com/JRVP, which is the place to speak to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about erectile dysfunction and get $15 off your first month of treatment. I'm going to hit you with that hard sell early because you guys know, about Papa Roman. He's been
Big Papa Roman. Big Papa Roman in the house. I tell you what, I take Roman all the time. I take it when I don't even need it. I think there's a lot of people out there who don't need it, who should take it anyway, just to get that extra inch, you know, just to get that extra, like just that extra little, like extra blood flowing in there. And again, it doesn't have to be about sex. It's not everything's about sex, guys. Sometimes you just want to walk around and let everybody know what you're working with. Maybe you're blind. Maybe you're a blind male and you lost your cane. Take a Roman. And you won't run into any walls. Make sense? I think so.
It makes total sense. Like that's if you're solo. But if you do have a partner, like it's a great way, you know, to reconnect with your partner, to make them happy. And it ships to you in for free. 2 days.
Let's say you want to make a bet with your friends. And you're like, guys, I bet I can get fully aroused and have sex with this piece of fruit, this watermelon. And they're like, no, you can't. That, you know, no one's sexually attracted to watermelon. Take a Roman. Come back a couple minutes later, and then you just count the money. You just count the money rolling in. It's a professional service that they provide.
Just go to GetRoman.com/JRVP. Complete an online visit today. Connect with a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. Take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/JRVP. If you're prescribed, you get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this fall. Roman ready. That's GetRoman.com/JRVP for $15 off your first month of ED treatment when prescribed.
You know what I love about Roman is that every time we do an ad read for Roman, they either come back and say, that was the best ad we heard all week. We loved it so much. You guys got the best retention. Like you got the best response when we workshopped it. Or they're like, you owe us money. You stole from us.
You have to do it again.
Yeah.
Also get a lot of positive response from Paint Your Life and paintyourlife.com. If you watched this on video, which you can't, you would see my painting from paintyourlife.com where I got a picture of our long lost turtle. And it was a great gift. Like we got it through the show, but my kids like went crazy for it. They were so excited. I told them for days in advance that we're getting this painting and you guys are going to love it. And they went nuts for it. It is a perfect holiday gift. At paintyourlife.com, you can have an original painting by a world-class artist done by hand from any photo at an affordable price. So you're, you know, you're there Christmas morning and you open up. What would you open up, Anthony? Christmas morning.
I would have the same picture of your turtle, only it's after they found it dead. And then maybe Emeka's next to the turtle being like, wah, wah. You know, like Emeka, like owning up to the fact that she, like holding
a shovel.
What was
the sound effect there?
Wah, wah. Yeah, that's just, that's,
I mean,
the, oh,
here's,
I just
the thing
the
about dead turtles. They don't look that different from alive turtles. You know, they just look like sleeping turtles. They're just there, you know, with their eyes closed, with their, which they often have during the day. You, I mean, you have to kind of lean close to it to see if it's breathing or not. But you, I don't know if that would come across. Totally.
That's why I like Rummy, because I'll know when Rummy's dead. I'll know immediately. Maybe I'll get some paintyourlife.com and send people some paintings of Rummy. You know, I've got cool. Enough Rummy pictures. If you go to Red Rum, the Korean meat factory dog on Instagram, he's blowing up now. He's got a lot more pictures. I'm posting a lot more of his stuff.
It would be amazing if people had Rummy in their living room. And pets are a huge part of their business, whether it's children, family, a special place that you love, or a cherished pet. You can combine photos, they're really well done. I couldn't believe how good they were. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word vanity to 64,000. That's 64,000. That's vanity to 64,000. Text vanity to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Finally, it's BetterHelp. Oh, yeah. BetterHelp. It's been sponsoring us all year. Online therapy. You got to check out betterhelp.com/JRVP for 10% off your first month. If you've been listening to us, you know it doesn't always have to be something big in your life, but it could be something big in your life. Either way, it's good to talk to someone. I think it's been really interesting. I don't know if you've seen, Anthony, how more and more athletes, a couple NFL players recently, Calvin Ridley on the Falcons, Lane Johnson on the Eagles, have taken time off, talked a lot about taking a mental health break. Lane Johnson had a good interview with Jay Glazer about it. And I just think how like different it is than a year ago, and then definitely 5 and 10 years ago. But even a year ago, like 6 months ago, Naomi Osaka was getting kind of a lot of blowback for not wanting to do press conferences. And I think people now are just like used to that. This is part of like an athlete's life, that some are going to miss time because they want to handle this stuff.
It's the Ted Lasso effect. Ted Lasso season 2 changed everything. People are ready for BetterHelp now. And again, like I've been on record by saying this, that people are crazy. Everyone is crazy. And everyone was crazy to begin with. Everyone is 30-35% crazier than they were before the pandemic. That you just don't know it yet. And you'll figure it out. And BetterHelp can help you get there quicker. It's not a race, but you will get there a little bit faster. And you'll be a little more happy if you talk to someone at BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. You can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors, get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain from it. See if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and JRVP listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/JRVP. That's BETTERHELP.com/JRVP for 10% off your first month.
And as a bonus, every single headline we have, the people could have used BetterHelp. And that was
ad copy.
Let's get to headlines.
Like that. I feel like that's what I've wanted my whole life on these little things, little piano, little beat. I like the headlines part the best because it's when I giggle the most. I giggled a lot up top with the one thing. I love headlines the best, but I've talked to different people. Headlines aren't everyone's favorite part. Some people, but some people like the top. I think headlines are my favorite part though. I'm just throwing that out there. The first story is a great one for fans of castration. And terrible for everyone else. A 66-year-old German man is on trial for murdering one man and castrating eight others. Yep.
Was the one guy he killed
into the link?
Was the one guy he killed? I did not. I just read headlines this week. Did the guy who died? Did he die of a castration gone wrong?
Yes, it seems so. He died several days after being castrated, and that the guy denies that this man's death had anything to do with castration. But he was found like in a box, castrated 3 weeks or so after his death. So it seems like it was definitely affected.
Is he trying to say he castrated him after the fact so he could get to heaven? Because you can't get to heaven if you're not castrated. That's for damn sure. Yeah, that guy definitely died.
I think this is how he found out. No one knew that he had been doing anything. But this dead body was found. The dead body was castrated, and they realized this one guy has been castrating people. Didn't necessarily mean to kill this one guy, but he killed him, it sounds like. And then he either tried to hide him or just, I think it sounds like he tried to hide him.
so they found the body. The cops find the body. They're scoping out people who might be castrating people. They set up cameras, have a crew watching, gathering evidence. And they watch 8 different guys go in to get castrated. And they're like, not yet. Don't go yet. We're building a case. It's all about the case. We're going to try to go higher up. Let this guy get castrated and see who comes in after him.
I don't think that's how police work works. I don't think they have like, you know, samples that they go in to like get murdered to see who's murdering people. No, they found it on a message board. They found this guy had been posting on several sadomasochism sexual message boards. He said he was a doctor, and people were coming to him and getting castrated. So they found like the evidence digitally, but he was not a doctor.
And castration. Yeah. I mean, if you're on a message board, like pumping up your castration business, chances are you didn't go to medical school. And castration, it's just the balls, right? You're just taking balls. You cut the balls and then you sew it up. I would think penis is neutering.
Yeah, look into that, Erica. I would think it was both. Wow, I didn't realize that. That's interesting. I didn't realize
you want to lose your sexual proclivities. Let's say
I thought it was
you can't get hard anymore.
I figured it was both. It was everything.
I think that's something else.
It says on Google that castration is any action, surgical, chemical, or otherwise, by which an individual loses one of the testicles or both. And then it said the term castration may also sometimes be used to refer to emasculation, where both the testicles and the penis are removed together.
Okay. I mean, listen, I'm not going to kink shame. Okay. I've been on record. I don't kink shame. Okay. You want to split it in two? That's your business. You want to take it off completely? You just want to take off the balls? You think it looks bigger that way? I'm with you, okay? Do your thing, man. What would give me pause is when I show up at this guy's house and he's like, you're here for the castration? And you're like, yes. And he's like, join me in the kitchen. That's what got me about this headline, was that it was in the kitchen. Not a basement, not like a room he keeps. It's like the kitchen. And like, and I would think, I would just imagine you'd walk in, you'd walk into anyone's house and you'd feel like, you'd be like, oh, this kitchen's got a lot of space. Are those granite top counters? Look at the light coming in. You got a good light in here. I would do you cook? I would love to make a meal in this kitchen. And the guy's just like, put your penis on the board and let me chop.
Well, it's possible. You think he like makes it as peaceful as possible, you know, as like tranquil in there, like try to just set the vibe? I know it's a kitchen, but maybe put some nice, like, paint your life paintings on, you know, I don't know.
Clean the cutting board in between guys. I think you wouldn't want the blood. You would clean so there's not, they can't see the blood.
I don't think he's doing multiple guys a day. This isn't like an emergency room, although I guess he was
you never
pretty
know. If he did eight,
he did like, 9, because one guy was at 9, yeah. That they found, nine, one was dead. Yeah.
Yeah. I would think he's getting blood everywhere. He's got to clean that up so you don't walk in feeling like, I shouldn't. Like, if you went to the dentist office and there was blood everywhere, you'd be like, I'm going to see another dentist. I'm going to get my castration from someone a little more professional, you know, that you wouldn't want that. I would think he's sharpening the knife, even if it doesn't need to be sharpened. He's sharpening it in front of them so they can see. I guarantee it's like a chopping kind of knife that he just goes like a one whack, sew it up. And I definitely guarantee, this is the gentleman guarantee, that he says, I'll go on the count of 3, and then goes on 2. I'd love to know the guy who
backs
out.
That's the first thing they teach you in castration school. Go on 2.
Go on 2. Don't give him that extra second. Castrate him, sew him up, get him. It was in a guy's kitchen, but it was only $50. It was 50 kroner, whatever the fuck they use over there. It was a couple euros.
Marks, euros. like, it's obviously illegal. The guy, you know, the guy admitted it. He's not even trying to deny it. He just said, yeah, it's castrating them. It's obviously illegal. It's problematic. You can't do this. That being said, that being said, the people who go there, like, they know that this guy didn't graduate from the top medical school in Berlin. Like, I think they are going there understanding there is a significant amount of risk here. Mm-hmm. They don't deserve to die. But I think they are going there with the understanding, like, anything could happen here. I'm into getting castrated. Like, absolutely anything can happen. And that is maybe even part of the excitement. I mean,
these are the kind of people, these eight guys, you know, they're like, I guarantee they've said things like, you know, the worst part about getting castrated?
What?
You only get to do it once. You know what I mean? I wish I could go back in time and get castrated again. It was so great. It's like getting a tattoo. I wish they'd grow back so I could get it done again. They're like, no one feels bad. If someone gets like bad plastic surgery, like people who get like butt lifts or like butt injections and they end up dying from it, everyone feels bad. Because you're like, oh, you went to a guy who led you astray. They lied to you. But if you're getting castrated, there's a reason you're getting castrated and no one's upset by that. Like, if you get castrated, it's like, I'm sure you're probably mentally ill and I feel bad for you, but I'm also glad you cannot have kids now and you cannot threaten women or men or boys or girls. No one feels bad for the castrated out there who voluntarily went and got castrated. But as soon as they say it's in my kitchen, I'm out, you know,
that's where I draw the line.
You shouldn't do it in the kitchen. It's not clean. I wonder if you saved the extra pieces. Do you think so? Do you think he was like had a jar?
I mean, he was like, he's 66,
and someone's like, "Do you have any cherries?" Like, and he's like, "Stay out of there, right? Stay out of the cherries. Stay out of that jar of cherries."
He's 66, which is like a red flag right there. Like, that is way past your castrating prime. Like,
I don't think so, doctor. I don't think so. I think he's got 3 years. I think he's got 3 years to go. I think in 3 years, then it's like, boom. Where's your kitchen?
Oh, man.
I wish this was a video just to see Greg wildly gesticulating to move to play the music and move on to the next
story. I was just like, that was perfect. You gotta know, you know, when to fold them. Like, that was a painful laugh. Like, it hurt me to be laughing at that, but I was laughing pretty hard.
We'll do a callback to it in 40 weeks.
A 79-year-old Canadian man is accused of shooting his son. Because his son would not stop playing the guitar. I am guessing you did not read this one because Erica did not put the right link under the story.
The dad was 79. How old was the son?
Didn't say.
Then I'm going to assume adult son. I'm going to assume adult son living at home, economic circumstances not great, playing the guitar.
Yeah, it's like in a small town in Canada. I don't think this 79-year-old dad's got like a 6-year-old kid. It's got to be a 30, 40-year-old, something like that.
I want to shoot anyone I hear dicking around, noodling around on an acoustic guitar. I'm totally team dad here. I think they should during the trial, they should play what the son sounded like when he shot him. You know what I mean? If he's learning Smoke on the Water or some shit, then it's like, okay, you're free to go, sir. We're sorry. Mm. Your son owes you a bullet. But yeah, I mean, do you guys, Erica, do you play guitar?
No.
Did you? Well,
I mean, I can a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, everybody can a little bit. And exactly. That's the problem.
Those it's the people one, who like it's one instrument. Yeah, there is no playing a little bit, I don't think, when it comes to guitar. Either you can play it or you
yeah, but even if you're like the best in the world and you're just dicking around an acoustic guitar, I want to kill you. I want to kill you. I almost want to have kids one day and just like leave a guitar around and test.
Yeah, but what if they're good at it? Like my brother, who is like a brilliant guitarist from like the second he picked it up, he could just like listen to music and play guitar. He went to college for it. You know, had all these bands. He's amazing. And that annoyed me, but I got sick of it. You know, he had to go into the basement for years and years. But it was good. So like it didn't, mm-hmm. It bothers me when people are bad at it. If someone's like amazing at it, I'm like, okay, well, at least he's amazing. Like I'm not going to fault him.
But even if they're good, they're playing the same thing over and over again, trying to get it right. You know what I mean? They're practicing they're not just playing because they want to hear, I love the song. It's not in the radio. Let me just play it myself. They're learning how to play the song and that will drive you insane. Piano, guitar, drums, like any instrument will drive you fucking nuts, that I'm all for shooting your own child for playing the guitar too much.
And yeah, so you wouldn't be into like Dean would play Guns N' Roses or whatever the music was at the time for, you know, in the basement for like five, six hours at a time. Just like, you know, just run through GNR Lies over and over and over, things like that.
It's a little better than, I mean, I would think the first time you heard it, you'd be like, all right, cool. Like my brother was really good, a really good guitar player. Really good. He's a good guitar player. And when he was like a kid and I would come home and visit from college, he would like wake me up with like Van Halen songs. And I thought it was funny. But if he kept on playing the songs over and over again, I'd shoot him. And he even sent me, this past week, he sent me videos of him like playing like really complex songs and nailing it. Like it was the video of him being like, all right, this is whatever. And he played it. And then he sent me another one. Cause I was like, oh, that's great, Mike. I think, oh, you know, during the pandemic, he's been practicing a little more. That's like how he stays sane. And finally I was like, Mike, are you making these videos like just for me? Like, are you like Anthony? Cause you know, he doesn't have TikTok. He's not on Instagram putting these out. And he was like, ha ha, no. And then I was like, well, then who are you sending them to? Who is this for? Who wants to see a video of you playing guitar? Like, I'm into it maybe like once. The second song, I was like, okay, yeah, you're good at this. But like, what is the point of filming this and sending it to people? But yeah, it's good to have a hobby, but you got to understand people who can hear this hate you. Everyone hates you. If you walk around with a guitar, everyone hates you. It doesn't matter. Even if you're a professional musician, nobody wants to hear that shit. They're like, they better be going to a concert where they're getting paid to do this because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it in the street. I don't want to hear. And I certainly, if you're locked up with someone during the pandemic and they're playing it all the time, I'm sure they had arguments before about whether or not they could play. I guarantee he dreamed about smashing it, the guitar. Maybe the son's bigger than him. This is an older guy.
Well, there's some good details here.
The son's bigger. He couldn't smash the guitar, so we just flat out shot him. And I'm team dad all the way. Give me the details.
I think you're right. And I think the dad seems very, you know, it's a suburb in Hamilton, Canada. I think he's playing that defense, that he was right to shoot him, that everyone hates a guy who's just like playing on the guitar too long. First of all, it was an hour. He said he was sick of him playing the guitar and that he only meant to shoot his son in the guitar. He wasn't trying to shoot his son. He was trying to shoot the guitar and he ended up shooting him in the right side of the stomach. But what really got
hold the guitar? Did he not think the bullet would go through the guitar? Did he think he would just hit the guitar and like the son holds in front of his stomach and he was shocked? He was like, oh my God, it's hollow wood.
Yeah, it ended up going to the right side of his stomach. He was surprised. He thought it would just shoot the son. But what really gets me is the picture of the dad, you know, at the police station because he's beat to shit. And then the report just says at the bottom, the son then assaulted his father while waiting for emergency personnel to arrive.
Yeah. I'm team son on that too. I'm straddling the line here because if you're playing the guitar, okay, which I get, like if you're good at it, you want to enjoy your hobby and someone shoots you for it, you can beat them till the ambulance gets there to take you away. You're fully in the right to lay him out. I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay. But
I'm unapologetic he is too. He was just like, yeah. He's like, I was just sick of it. I was sick of it. I didn't mean to. And then Billy beat the shit out of me.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to hear how this case goes because I'm totally team dad. And I think they're just like, we're going to sentence you to the beating you received. And maybe you guys should live in separate places. You know, maybe get Guitar Hero and put the earplugs in. And don't put your dad through this. But there's no way he was just like heard him playing and was like, I gotta shoot him. And this has been going on for years and years, and he snapped. And everyone's on the verge of snapping when they hear someone play guitar. I guarantee it was acoustic. I'd love to know the song they were playing. I would love to know the song they were playing. That he was just like, fuck this, Billie Eilish bullshit, and just popped off. I bet the dad bought the gun just for this. That the dad's never owned a gun in his life and was like, I got to get a gun. He's got a guitar. I got to get a gun.
I was trying to think like what song would make you shoot. Cause I was trying to think of what song would drive me crazy when I was like a little kid that my brother would play. And the first one that came to mind was the cover of a song called Signs by Tesla. Do you remember this song?
Tesla was a cover. I don't know who sang the original.
I don't know who sang the original. Signs, signs everywhere. There's signs. that made me feel murderous.
Imagine that, huh? Me working for you. Oh, I love the idea in Signs that the guy would put, a guy with long hair would put his hair under his hat and go apply for a job, and just to take his hat off and be like, "Fuck you, old man." That song sucked. Tesla sucked.
I love your perfect recall on the spot of the like details of the word.
I'll tell you this right now. If I heard someone strumming the beginning parts of Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden, I would throw a grenade off my balcony and let the chips fall where they may. I'd be like, I'd call the front desk and be like, the cops are going to be here. Tell them where I am. But I threw the grenade. I heard Black Hole Sun on an acoustic guitar and I lost it.
This is aging us. This is like the most, you know, old guy rock, you know, conversation we've ever had, but I never understood the people that like stood by Soundgarden when Black Hole Sun came out. Like that,
Soundgarden,
you can make Soundgarden your argument. Soundgarden had a good song. You can make your argument. Like there's a lot of great Soundgarden, but when Black Hole Sun came out, I thought it was like a clear moment when everyone needed to just recognize what a terrible song that was, and people didn't. It still took off.
I think they were excited that they were getting like a lot. They had a hit single. You know, every rock group has that ballad that you're like, okay. But the Black Hole Sun is, I'm on record. I think I did a thing for the AV Club called Hate Song. And you talk about a song you hate the most, and it was Black Hole Sun all the way.
Wow.
It's the speed of it. It's the speed of the song that gets me. It's Black Hole Sun, and there's one Norah Jones song where when I hear it, it gets inside my brain, and I'm going to shoot whoever's playing it on guitar. I don't like it. I don't like it. Team Dad, but I'm glad the dad got beat up. I think it's funny. Now, it would have been great if you had played acoustic guitar in between stories there. But also, like, if you lived with someone who played that kind of music. Like, remember when we lived with Chris Nelson? And Chris Nelson would DJ?
Oh, my God.
And he had headphones on most of the time. But if he had had them off, we would have shot him. We would have stabbed him to death.
But not all the time. I definitely remember like coming home from a bar or going out for the night and coming back, and there's Chris bumping EDM loud as fuck with his like three friends just kind of chilling at like 12:30 or 1 in the morning. And it was goddamn miserable.
Oh, yeah.
I've never wanted to live somewhere else more in my entire life than that.
Do you remember the night that we had people over at 6 in the morning? We had people come over at 6 in the morning to watch a World Cup game. It was the World Cup finals.
Yeah. Do you like kegs and eggs?
I think we may have had some beer there, but it was like 6 a.m. Just come and watch the World Cup final. And then Chris came home with some friends and it came home from a rave and it was intoxicated and insisted that he was like, no, we're not watching a soccer game. Come on, the party's still going. And made us mute the soccer game. Well, he played EDM music and sat on the couch, like bobbing his head along. And it was the worst, maybe one of the worst experiences of my young life. It was so awful. I was so embarrassed for all my friends who came over. Everyone's looking like, does this guy pay all your rent that you let him just turn off the sound on the World Cup finals and play this music? It would have been fine if he'd been like, you got to mute it. I got to sleep. He'd be like, okay. But to make us listen to that music watching the game was pure hell. Pure hell.
You know, someone's got to be a bad roommate for us to be saying they're a bad roommate. Mm-hmm. And yes. And I was too. I'm not taking myself out of that. And that, you know, I love Chris.
You were a great roommate. You had a job. You were a good roommate in that place. I was the bad one. I was unemployed. I would stay up all night. I slept on that couch most of the time. But Chris, every once in a while, would bring some people over and all music related. And it was tough. It was tough. But yeah, that EDM is not for me.
All right, our next story, a school district issued an apology after photos circulated online that appeared to show students at Hazard High School in Kentucky giving faculty and staff members lap dances during homecoming festivities. They were in their underwear. Other pictures also showed female students dressed in Hooters costumes and students and staff appearing to spank or paddle each other. This school sounds amazing.
Here's what I love about this. First of all, the school posted these pictures themselves on their main like Facebook page or whatever. Like they were like, look what we did today. And I think they thought they were being progressive by having guys dress up in lingerie as like in female lingerie. Like it's like, we're not making girls do this. I didn't know about the Hooters thing. But the guys are giving, and they like, they take out the guys' faces from the pictures because they don't want them getting embarrassed, even though everyone fucking knows who that was. But the looks on the teachers' faces, it's all male teachers. It's like bald, like hillbilly looking. You know, they look like they'd be wearing overalls holding a pitchfork. Not to judge, but that's what they look like. But they have the biggest smiles on their faces while they're getting lap dances from 17-year-olds in lingerie. Then I don't know, what was the name of the town in Kentucky?
It's called Hazard. I think Hazard High School.
Okay, Hazard, Kentucky. I'm gonna assume that Dukes of Hazard was like based there. That's where Dukes of Hazard were from. I'm gonna assume this is one of the most homophobic towns in the country. And yet they're thrilled at the idea of 17-year-olds in silk black lingerie grinding on them during a school assembly. They all look so happy. They look like they're on a fucking roller coaster having their picture taken. That everything about it is a bad idea. And to combine them all, to combine everything into let's post these pictures on the internet is fantastic.
They defended themselves. They were like, these were only photos. They weren't videos. What the photos don't show is that the teachers were like pushing the children off them immediately. They also totally blamed the kids and said, the teachers didn't know about it. This is just them like pushing the boundaries and it's supposed to be fun. One of the guys who you saw that had that big smile on his face, not only was the school principal, but was also the town mayor. So basically everything that you think about Kentucky is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Always. You can make up something about Kentucky. It's true. But yeah, that guy's standing up. He could have backed away. He could have gotten out of there. He wasn't sitting.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy the whole they pushed them up. I mean, I'm sure they did, but the kids were clearly, as they said, pushing the boundaries. But I think this is just like a we don't give a fuck school, and they thought it was funny. I mean, I can't kill them all for this. It doesn't sound.
It's a series of bad mistakes. Nothing's terrible. You didn't castrate 9 people. You know, you didn't shoot your son for playing guitar. You were just trying to have some fun and be like a goofy kid. And then and teachers must have posted these online, where someone in charge of the account, the Facebook account, I guarantee it's not a student, posted them online thinking like, isn't this fun? We're going to get so many likes. And people lost their goddamn minds. But
I mean, that makes sense. There were some like, I love that they, you know, every article's got to have both sides. So they have the parents who were like disgusted by it and disappointed. But then there were the other parents that were just like, kids being kids, you know.
Yeah, I see both sides.
They want to get in the laundry. I'm with you though. The second part of it, where okay, it was the guys in the laundry doing the lap dance for the most part, but also the girls were like dressed in Hooters costumes, and then they were like pretending to spank or paddle each other. It was a lot. I mean, it's a bold. They're getting bold at Hazard. Like, what were they doing in the assemblies? Like. Leading up to this, because it's like a progression to get to where you think that you could do this at a school assembly.
They're from a town that thinks it's cool that when you're being chased by the cops, you drive as fast as you can and you go off a jump. Okay, that's where they're from. So of course they're going to be like homecoming. How can we outdo things? And I guarantee the guys thought of the lingerie idea first. Let's go give lap dances to the mayor/principal. He'll push us off as soon as he's finished. And then the girls were like, well, we want to be a part of this too. You know what? Let's put on Hooters outfits and spank each other in the background. But the guys were the stars of the show. And I guarantee they were leading the thing. And all of this is okay. All of this is okay if you don't post the pictures on Facebook. And so whoever did that is the reason we're talking about this story. I guarantee there's homecoming things in high schools that are just as crazy, if not crazier. But whoever was like, you know what's going to love this? The parents. And then hit send is so funny to me. Is so funny to me. Multiple people are getting fired for this for sure.
I mean, the principal/mayor, he might lose both jobs. I mean, I don't remember anything crazy like that happening. This is, you know, it's next level. But then if you don't want it to happen, it's like, don't live there.
I just wonder what Boss Hogg's going to say about this. You know, what's Roscoe P. Worrell going to say about this? You know, a goo, 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 goo. A little somber, a little chill.
Surgeon in Boston was fined $5,000 last week for leaving a patient on the operating room table so that he could go out to his car, eat, and then take a nap.
Love this. A Okay. I love that the surgeon was just like, you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the surgery. I'll be right back. I guarantee he said, I'll be right back. He didn't say, I need to get something to eat and take a nap. He just went to his car.
Really? You think he even told him? I feel like he just like walked out of the room.
I think he really, I think I'm in, again, I'm speculating. I'm just assuming this is what I would do if I were a surgeon, is I would say, I'll be right back. I left my sandwich in my car. I would go out. You think you're just going to get the sandwich, eat it on your way back into the hospital, rescrub in, and then go in and do your thing. I guarantee he got the sandwich, sat down for a second. They're exhausted surgeons. Decided to eat it in his car and then had food coma and passed out immediately. What I love is that, like, if I were a surgeon and I wake up in my car, someone's banging on the window and they're like, you fell asleep in your car after eating a sandwich. So the patient is still on the table, opened up for surgery. That'll be $5,000. I would hand them the $5,000 and then roll the window back up and go to sleep. I'd be like, bring me another sandwich. And I got another $5,000 for you. Surgeons make a lot of money. $5,000 is not a lot of money. That there, it's like, I guarantee there are surgeons who are like, oh, it's just $5,000 to do that. I can take a nap whenever I want in my like very expensive car. And it's just $5,000. Here's a bunch of blank checks. Here's a bunch of checks with my signature and $5,000. You just fill in the date whenever I do this. Because I mean, it's going to be happening a lot.
It's basically like a personal day. I had the same reaction. That was, you know, I hate it when you steal my take, you know, before I could get there. It's like a first class ticket, basically. It's a get out of that day's work
and get out of surgery free card. They don't like
right. It said that he slept, like he had been working for a long time. I think they said that he slept in the car like for like 8 or 9 straight hours. It was like Whoa. A routine ankle surgery. It took 5 years for him to actually be punished. This was 5 years ago, and it went through like this bullshit, you know, interior, you know, investigation process to get to the point where he's paying $5,000 5 years later. They are rich. It's like a first class. It's like upgrading to a first class ticket. He is happy to pay that.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee he has malpractice insurance that probably paid this for him. He didn't have to do that. He paid legal fees and then was like, yeah, $5,000. I'll see you in surgery tomorrow if I make it there. I just got a new car. The seats go all the way back. I would have just loved to have seen something like the nurse gone, but like, I bet he's sleeping in his car and going out and knocking on the window and seeing his reaction to that. He slept for 8 or 9 hours while somebody had their ankle open.
Yeah, he missed the table. Well, I guess they don't exactly say how long he sleeps, but he missed the entire rest of his shift. Like it wasn't at the very end of his shift. It said like he missed the entire rest of the day and night. So it sounds like a big chunk in what they usually, you know, have pretty long shifts were gone. But it's, you know, it's probably because, you know what, you overwork surgeons. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm. So many surgeons, so many doctors are retiring after the COVID, having to deal with COVID and all this bullshit. I don't understand anyone who wanting to be a doctor anymore. Unless you hear a story like this, and you're like, oh, I can sleep in my car whenever I want. I can keep sandwiches in my car and just go in there and it's $5,000. That's nothing. That's nothing. No wonder med school is so expensive. It's probably med school, like every day. It's just like meet in your car, eat an entire sandwich, and then try to sit through 2 hours of us explaining biology to you. No way. No, thank you. I'm team doctor on this one. I'm team surgeon. I'd be mad if I was the patient. Mad as hell. I would hope for like a free surgery and I wouldn't know what sandwich it was. What was so good? Do you have a pillow in your car? I'd want to know that. That's what the surgeon should have been playing in their car just to make sure they didn't fall asleep while they were eating the sandwich. Yeah. If that was like your sandwich listening music, you would never fall asleep after
a sandwich. I hope it was like a bomb, like a great sandwich, like, you know, some great meatball sub from mm-hmm. a place nearby that everyone likes. Like if I find out it's like the 6-inch Italian from Subway or something. Walker Super
no
into Subway. Like just is dying to go to Subway. And it's like, so I got Subway for the first time in years. And, you know, it was pretty disappointing. I would not pay $5,000 for that.
If this was in Boston, I guarantee it was a Philly cheesesteak. They love them there. It's like the official sandwich of Boston.
The rapper Fetty Wap was arrested this week for his role in a bi-coastal opioid ring based in Long Island, according to police. They were trafficking hundreds of kilos of opioids, fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, and crack. Fetty Wap had to cancel his appearance at Rolling Loud after this happened.
What fascinates me about this is, like, rappers are always talking about dealing drugs and doing that, but that's like what they used to do. They don't do it anymore. They don't have to. That when a guy as big as Fetty Wap, and I couldn't tell you one of his songs, but the fact that I know his name means he's something. That why is he doing this? Why does he need the extra money? Was it like for street cred? Or was he just like, I need something more to sing about? Does he sing about selling opioids?
Yeah. But well, like, he sings about selling crack. The only I vaguely remember one of his songs, and I vaguely remember saying his name on the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
RJVP.
Just in some reference to current rap, because it was around then. It was about 2014, 2015. He had some song about dealing crack. My guess would be, I don't think he's like at the top of his game now. He is doing Rolling Loud and whatnot, and probably can do festivals and whatnot. Not as big as he once was. And you can make a lot of money dealing drugs. He doesn't have to, but it reminds me of the NFL player who was like a true kingpin. He was like a more of a special teams guy who was making like, you know, 800,000 to a million a year. Like, you can make more dealing drugs. Sure. And so if you're confident in your abilities, I guess he was. According to the feds, he was a kilogram level dealer. I don't know exactly, you know, what that means, but sounds like a lot.
Was he the ringleader or just like a guy involved? Was he like an investor? Do you know what I mean?
He seems sort of in the middle, but he certainly isn't like at the top and doing like the big, you know, making the big exchanges or whatever. But he, I'm sounding like a fucking idiot. Cops seized approximately 1.5 million in cash, 16 kilo of cocaine, 2 kilo of heroin, fentanyl pills, handguns. Jesus. He seemed like he was pretty close to the top of the depth chart here. It was like on both coasts. He was in New York. Someone else was in California. The drugs are going back and forth.
Because there's levels of crazy with this. Like, you brought up the guy from the NFL. I think I remember the story. I'm sure, and it's happened a few times where a retired NFL player gets involved with drugs.
This guy was currently in the, like, he did it while he was in the NFL, which always blew my mind.
It's rare to be in the NFL. Job. It's rare to pull a Marvin Harrison where you're like bouncing at your own nightclub holding a gun while you're still like at the top of your game. It's usually someone who's like a has-been or is not making very much money.
It was Sam Hurd, who was on the Cowboys and then the Bears. It was probably making,
but Fetty Wap, like, when did Fetty Wap put out his last album or his last song? Like, you still get that touring money, but like,
I mean, you're making it off the tour. If he's doing, he was big enough to be doing Rolling Loud, which is like I don't know what stage he's on.
Trap
but
Queen was the big that one that you would know.
That's the one.
When was that?
That's the only song.
When was that?
That was six or
she my six Trap or seven Queen.
Years. Right. It was over 5 years ago when it was.
He's got one eye. Too. Am I correct about that?
Yes. And in one of his songs, it's called My Way or whatever. He sings this line that says, like, I'll go out of my way to see you. And it always made me laugh because he only has one eye, and I just never knew why people weren't talking about that line.
Well, he has to go out of his way. He's got to turn his head. And that's why Fetty Wap is our JRVP Listener of the Week.
He's got a new album out, actually. He's got one from this year. So he has a decent amount of listens on it, too. So I guess people are still banging with him, even if he's not at his peak.
Yeah, that was my recommendation.
Good for you, Fetty Wap. I don't have a problem with drug dealers, but you threw fentanyl in the mix, and I'm anti. I don't like fentanyl. I don't know why anyone messes with it. If you're like oxycodone and heroin and coke, it's like, okay, you got customer base, but fentanyl, you're just poisoning people. So I hope Fetty Wap goes to jail for a week. That's right, a week. Now it's time for
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station, the part of the show that everyone can't wait for. This is their the week. Greg, what do you got for us this week?
All right, I'm going to recommend a movie which I remember you recommending to me just in our lives about a decade ago. Finally watched it, called Warrior, the MMA Ooh. Movie with Tom Ooh, Hardy yeah. and Joel
Nick
Edgerton.
Nolte. Nick Nolte.
Maybe as good a Nick Nolte, maybe that role is at least as he's had like in his last 20 years. He's amazing in this movie. Like, he was very touching. He plays the father of these two wayward sons who are both into MMA, and their lives have been separated and gone crazy. And eventually they're in this big winner take all MMA tournament, but it's like really well done. It's, you know, it's got elements of Rocky and everything to it, but it's so well acted. It's more than that. And it's got a great use of one of the National's best songs at the very climax of the movie. And that is why I sort of stumbled into watching this, because I was talking about the National with the woman who cuts my hair, who you recommended me to. So it all circles back to Anthony, but Warrior is really good.
Craig, did you know, and I found this out later on, that the two brothers who wrote the screenplay, or writing partners who wrote the screenplay and directed the movie Warrior, they listened to that National song on repeat while they were writing that final scene. They just listened to it over and over again. That it got me. It's like the one National song that I like is that song. But I love that movie. I think one of Tom Hardy's most entertaining movies. Everyone's great in it, but Tom Hardy is a total fucking badass. Clearly on HGH, roided out of his ass.
As is Joel Edgerton, who's huge in this movie too.
But Tom Hardy's got like he's got muscles coming out of his back that you're just like, people don't have those muscles. Like it looks like he like just took like silly putty and put him on his back. It's nuts. But
I was dumb enough. I did not see like the ending to the movie coming, and that does not surprise me. It might be the best National song, which is crazy because it's only for the soundtrack. It was a song that got the woman who cut my hair into the National. She said she loved this movie. She heard this song and she ended up getting into them. And I was like, that makes sense. I've seen them 4 or 5 times. And when they don't play this song, and that only happened once, when they don't play the song, I was so pissed off. And it's crazy that one of, if not their best songs ever, was just on this relatively random soundtrack.
Really?
To the Warrior.
I didn't know that. Yes. They made the song for
they
that
made
movie.
It for them. Yeah.
That's incredible. Great movie, Warrior. And you know what? As a bonus, it takes place in Pittsburgh. They got two guys who couldn't be further from Pittsburgh to play brothers from Pittsburgh. And I think that's hilarious always. Warrior, check it out. It's timeless. Erica, what do you got?
Yeah, nothing really. Just super into Succession right now, the new season. I feel like season 3 is better than the rest, which is really hard for a show to do. Like, I am so excited for Sunday nights when it comes out. I really think that this season is so badass.
I agree with you 100%. I watched episode 3 right before we taped this podcast tonight.
Oh, so good.
I didn't get to see it on Sunday. But yeah, loving the season. I think season 1's great. Season 2's even better. And this has been the best so far. I'm excited for the next 7 weeks of getting to see it. And I love that they're saying that it's only going to be 4, maybe 5 seasons.
Right.
Like, they have
not
a story in mind.
Drag it out.
Yeah, that I think is great. Greg, do you watch Succession?
I haven't. I really should. I know.
It's great. It's funny. The performances are amazing. And it's like, it really is one of the funniest shows on TV right now, I think. My recommendation is an old movie. I watch a bunch of horror movies I haven't seen every year. This year I watched The Nightmare, which is a documentary about sleep terrors. It was supposed to be terrifying. I was like, okay, I kind of like, this is a little scary, but not too bad. And I've gotten night terrors in the past. I thought it would affect me more. It did not. I watched, what else did I watch? I don't remember. I watched a couple movies.
It's a documentary about night terrors.
Like when you're laying in bed and you feel it's sleep paralysis.
It's what's paralyzed. What is it called?
You're like awake. I think it's called The Nightmare. The Nightmare. It's a documentary. You can get it for 99 cents on iTunes right now. I think it started as a Netflix movie originally, but it's like, it's just 8 people telling their stories about how, like, being paralyzed in bed and being awake, but feeling like they're asleep and like things come into the room to fuck with them. And they have like, it's almost in the same way where people say they saw aliens and they all kind of have the same sort of sketch of what the alien looks like. We're like, this can't be a coincidence. It's like that with night terrors, that it truly is very scary. But the movie that I loved, that I threw on, I just looked up like the best, you know, 100 best horror movies of all time. And this one stuck out to me. It's called Demons. It's from 1985. Dario Argento, like the famous Italian horror master, who did, what was his famous movie? They just remade it recently. It's in a ballet studio. I forget the name of it. Someone online will, I'm sure, yell at me for it. He produced this movie called Demons. It's about a bunch of people who go into a movie theater. It's what the log line that I set up top is from. They go to see a free movie. And someone's handing out tickets. And then people just start turning into demons. And spoiler alert, it's 90 minutes long. There is a scene where a guy somehow finds a motorcycle and a samurai sword in a movie theater and drives the motorcycle around with a girl on his back, just slicing up demons who are trying to kill him for a good 10 minutes It just keeps going on and on, and it never stops being awesome. At one point in the movie, a helicopter falls through the ceiling. No one comments on why. You don't see the helicopter before. You don't know why this happened. Everyone's just like, oh, there's a way out, and they go for it. That it's like that kind of batshit horror movie that is just perfect. Every character is amazing. The music is totally 80s. It's one of my favorite 80s horror movies I've ever seen. Demons from 1985. Check it out. If you have Amazon, it's for free on Amazon. Those are my Halloween movies this year. Oh, I saw something else. It was like Leslie Vernon Behind the Mask that I thought was going to be cool. It was kind of like a comedy, like a parody. It takes place in a world where Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, they all exist. And it's this guy trying to be the next up-and-coming slasher. And it's like him. He's got a documentary crew following him that I was interested in and then just turned on. But Demons, 1985, was my horror movie of the year. And that was...
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. Debbie, you know what to do.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
You know what would be really cool? Okay, hold on. Anthony, are you recording?
Yes.
Okay, Greg, you're recording too. I was going to say, you know what would be really cool if like this episode, you guys were like, we were just kidding. Last episode, the one was the best ever. You guys are stupid for not liking it.
How are you not embarrassed about pitching us things at this point? Has anything ever been met with anything other than derision? And it's like, you're on strike 10.
I keep you young.
That's crazy.
I hope we need to put that at the end of the show. I like that.